everybody. Thanks for tuning in. It's Friday. It's September 21st, 2012. And this is the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, heard Monday through Friday at 7:32 a.m., re-aired at 7:32 p.m. But I will say it's 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners. And this program is archived at greatnewsradio.org. So if we have a special interview with maybe an artist, author, or someone special, and you really enjoy it and want to hear it again or want to email it to a friend, you can do that. And we had such a lively conversation going on Wednesday. In fact, Jason, it really struck a chord because you teared up as we were talking about monies being spent on various things, and there's so much hurt in the world. And I noticed at the time that it was really, as you were talking about, counting literally the ribs on some of the photographs of people that are starving, people that are in need, and we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on what you could maybe classify as frivolous research or different things that it's like, oh, come on, there are so many more needier things that could go towards. And that's kind of where we left off. And I also want to bring up some other items today, but I don't know, it just seemed like that struck such a chord in your heart and mind. Maybe you could elaborate a little more on that.
Well, I just think that we live in such an entitled society. We live in such a society where, and it's entitlement, but it's me-centered. You know, we believe that we all should be rich. I mean, it was really funny. I was at doing something at the post office a long time ago. Don't go to that post office on Madison Street too often. But I was there, and there was a line of people who I guess you can cash your welfare checks or something at the post office. And now, please don't take this as my commentary on this. I'm always people watching, and I was really shocked by these people were in line to cash their welfare checks. They were well-dressed. Not one person was what you would think somebody in that position should be dressed as. And they were all text messaging on their iPhones. They're all text messaging on their phones, and I'm going, wait a second. These people are clearly not rich or not even in the middle class, but they believe that they should be. And then we have upper class who don't believe that they should be middle class, and we have like this classism that's happening, this entitlement that's happening. And while we're too busy fighting the me battle, okay, and I'm not picking on anybody, I'm not picking on the rich, I'm not picking on the poor, I'm not picking on the middle class, I'm picking on everybody, myself included. We're so busy fighting that from a me-centric view that we forget about the rest of the world. We forget about all these other people. And I'm going to tell you what, as a parent, when I see those pictures, when I see those things, I make an intimate connection to my own kids. I mean, I couldn't imagine having to be a parent watching my kids starve to death. And when you read those testimonies and you see those things, the parents themselves are starving even worse because they're trying to give what little there is to their kids. So the parents are starving even more as they're watching their kids starve to death. I mean, it's like a double entendre of suffering and pain and just wrong, wrong, and more wrong. It's just all kinds of wrong. And you know what? The world has more food than it can offer. The world, we don't have a problem making food. The world has more. Just do a survey. Go to your local grocery store and walk around. How much food is just sitting there? Go to your local food pantry who collects outdated food from those grocery stores and ask them how much food comes in from those grocery stores. You'll be shocked. I know there's a local pantry that gets 4 pallets of food every week from a large grocery store, local grocery store. 4 pallets of food that just gets thrown away. And by the way, that's prepackaged food because bakery items, meat, things like that can't just be given away because there's fear of litigation. There's a fear of all kinds of different things going to happen. Some food can't be given away because there's contractual obligations. Having been in the grocery store business, yeah, I know a lot of that kind of stuff. But the fact that you can walk in your grocery store, I mean, those people in sub-Saharan Africa, they can't even fathom that you could walk into a store. I mean, just imagine if you plucked one of those people up immediately and you brought them into your house. Could you imagine the conversation you'd have? Hey, are you thirsty? Well, yeah, I mean, I'm real thirsty. Well, let me get you some water from the sink. You mean the river comes to your house? Yeah. Yeah. Do you want ice in it? Wait, you mean you put frozen water inside your water?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You want something to eat? I'll open it up. You have food here? Yeah, I do. And it stays cold. Oh, yeah, some of it stays frozen. Come on, we'll do that while we watch TV. That painting talks? Yeah. And by the way, maybe halfway through we could order a pizza. What's a pizza? Oh, a high school kid or a dropout comes and brings me some food to my house. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Don't write us, please. I've had Jason with me all week long. I want to keep him with me.
Must be the cough drops I've been taking. Could you imagine that? I mean, just imagine the wacky conversations you would have. Oh, it's getting dark out. We should go to sleep. No, we'll just turn the lights on. The lights? I mean, you can harness the power of the sun? Yeah. I mean, imagine the conversation you would have. We live in such an entitled age, and we don't even understand it. I was sitting the other day in a coffee shop, and the guy next to me was on his cell phone, and he couldn't get it to go fat. Like, he's going, oh, this thing, it's so slow. And I'm going, dude, like, the signal goes into space, and it comes back down. It accesses a large computer bank. Do you not realize? You didn't even, 10 years ago, you didn't even think it was possible to access the internet in your hand, and today you believe that it should be lightning fast. I mean, we lose such perspective of who and what and where we are. And there are people out there who have a great perspective. I watched an interview at SICK for a bunch of days this past weekend, and I just laid in bed, and I don't know what I did when I was sick prior to the internet, but now that I have the internet, I'm going to tell you what I do partially while I'm sick. I sit in bed and watch YouTube videos. But there was this guy who travels, and he's invested in all kinds of humanitarian work, and he writes books, and he does a bunch of stuff. I'm not going to share who it is. He said, if you ever want to learn about your own country, leave it. He says, don't learn about your own country and about your own life by staying there and trying to find books about it. If you want to learn about the United States and what it means to be an American, go to Africa, go to Libya, go to China, go to India. He goes, because you'll learn right away what it is that you have, how blessed and lucky you are, how powerful your life is, and you'll also learn, he says, how incredible a life-changing things you can do for people. He goes, I gave a half of a chocolate bar that I didn't want to eat and I thought I might throw away to some kids, and he goes, and these kids, you thought it was Christmas morning, mm-hmm. as they divided up these little pieces of chocolate. He goes, I was going to throw it away. To me, it was just a half a chocolate bar. I'm not hungry anymore. He goes, to these kids, it was Christmas. And he goes, that's not our idea. So, yeah, I mean, and then, you know, like I said, whenever it touches where kids are concerned, I mean, I think about my own kids. I mean, I have kid 6 and 3 and just a little bit over a year, and if my kids were starving to death, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
You're right, well, where do you go, right? Yeah, what did he do?
You know what I was thinking on Wednesday when you came into the studio?
The autopilot is going, pull up.
I need a scripture or something to reference or go to. Well, I was thinking on Wednesday I'd written out a few things from some of your Facebook postings, and I know you passionately enter different things that come to mind or as you pray, and maybe the Holy Spirit breathes a concept or a thought or a conviction or something that you read or hear on YouTube. I know you post many, many different things, and on Wednesday's program I thought I was just going to highlight a few. Now, these are a little dated, but I thought you do have a passion for encouraging people to draw closer to their Savior, to follow the biblical truth, to apply biblical principles into their lives. And so you're always posting different things that just come to mind. I see you sometimes when we're out and about, and I don't know if I see you go texting something or posting something, but you utilize Facebook in a unique way to convey things that the Lord's teaching you, right? I think so. That's part of the...
Yeah, let me say this about Facebook, because I want to right the wrong, okay, where Facebook is concerned. Facebook is not a social network, okay? Facebook is not a place where you go. It's not a community. It's not a genuine, real community. You don't go to Facebook and those people all... There is no possible way that you have 957 friends. Yeah. It's not physically possible. You couldn't keep up with, you couldn't love, cherish, spend time with, grow together, and draw near to 957 people. Jesus was the most perfect person in the world. He picked 12. So anytime you eclipse 12, you get beyond your sphere of being able to handle those relationships.
Effectively.
Effectively, yeah, definitely. Now, does that not mean that you don't know more than 12 people? Sure you do. But I think it's okay to say in our life, well, you know, I've got some acquaintances, I've got some people that I know. I think it's okay to have kind of circles and say, these people are my closest circle. You know, my closest circle are my family, and right outside of my circle be people like Mark, people who know me well and invest in my life, people who I share things with that I would never share with anybody else, people who hopefully they know when something's wrong with me right away and I don't even have to say anything. And then there's people outside in different varying circles. Look, Facebook is only where we post the pictures that we love of each other, of ourselves. I mean, none of us post pictures on Facebook like with our mouth hanging open. None of us post all those pictures that we have in our photo albums at home.
I don't know. Some of my friends have posted some of those photos of me, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, our friends will post them of us, but they never post them of themselves, or if they do, they delete it. And Facebook is only where we write the most perfect comments, and I'm just going to say this. And Facebook is where we try and sound really, really smart, or we try and have really, really great conversations, because we have the chance to step back from a real, honest conversation where we might not be at our best and we might be truthfully where we should be in a conversation. And we get to sit back and go, now let me think about the proper response to that. And more often than not, I'm going to say this. Facebook is a place where I see people airing all their dirty laundry. Facebook is not a public place to go and to tell all the ills of your life and everything that's wrong with your life and this person who wronged you and this person who wronged you and that person over there. That's not what Facebook is for. For me, Facebook is a place where I just plant thoughts, and that's all I plant. You know, if I enter into a conversation in Facebook, it's because I want to have a conversation that hopefully will bear some fruit. But ultimately, and I tell people this, I mean, all of you out there in Radio Land, if you want to become my Facebook friend, I'm just going to be honest with you. On the front end, you get in the gate for free. But I'm pretty vigilant in deleting friends on the back end, because it needs to be a healthy place and not an unhealthy place. If I post something about people who are struggling and suffering, that isn't an open door so that you can share how your ex-spouse, brother's roommate, friend's former, blah, 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 has done you wrong in the past. That's not what it's for. Now, if you want to find somebody to get a cup of coffee with and share that with, by all means. But I think that instead of us using Facebook, I think, unfortunately, Facebook uses us for the most part. And I think that Facebook needs – it's not a very healthy place. And that's even before, if you would talk to most Christian counselors, before we get into the area of Facebook has become probably the place where we find the point or the beginning of more adultery now than we ever found before. You know, oh my gosh, I just reconnected with my sweetheart from high school, but I'm married with three kids. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and that isn't a recipe for trouble. Oh, she instant messaged me. Well, I feel like I should write her back.
Yeah, they say, I think Focus on the Family did a whole program on even the chemicals that have been released in high school, that when you reconnect with some of those memories, with some of those people, it's like it's a yellow flag, red flag, where it's a dangerous situation, because chemically, maybe that first person you kiss, something happened and it's kind of imprinted in your brain. And when you reconnect on Facebook, and it's very innocent to begin with, but they said Facebook has led to many divorces, many improper relationships. And so, yeah, you need to be very careful.
I will be honest. I'll tell you that. You know, it's really funny. Probably like 2 years ago, three years ago, my Facebook friends were really just pastors and just a smaller group. I mean, I really didn't. But for some reason, somehow, maybe it was a reunion that came and went, but all of a sudden there was an influx of high school friends where, like, face. And like I said, you get in on the front end, you get in pretty easy. I let you in for free. But I'm pretty vigilant. I mean, I have no problem deleting people afterwards.
Yeah.
That's when I see, you know, I give you some time, you know, and. You know, grace period, and we'll see how you do. But there were people who were my high school friends who became friends on Facebook, and I'm like, as I would, like, okay, they're a little, you know, to be my friend, which is such a strange. Yeah, such a strange thing. In, but I would remember things that I had not remembered, like, oh, that person, I remember when this happened and this, oh, my gosh. And I wouldn't lie. And I've shared this with my wife. My wife was actually sitting next to me when it happened. I got a message from a girl who, not a girl who I dated, but a girl who obviously thought that we should have dated when we were in school. And she sent me a message saying, hey, I would love to get together with you, would love to talk to you, would love to maybe talk on the phone. And I deleted it, and I deleted her. And that was all that there was to say about that. But I can only imagine somebody who's in a relationship where it's not healthy, somebody who's in a relationship where they're miserable, somebody who's in a relationship where they don't know what to do, and they get that message, and they go, I totally need somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
And they pick up the phone, and the next thing you know, they're reconnecting, like you said, chemically, emotionally, with something in the past, and it's in the past. It's not now.
And what happens many times, according to Focus on the Family and other people that I've talked with, is you only think about the best of times, or your memory's a little clouded. It's like, oh, in the old days. And so you kind of think the best, and then there's that temptation. And anyway, and many times they say the people that kind of get into maybe an improper relationship through Facebook and then get married, within 2 years they're divorced. Yeah. And so it's just one of the – well, anyways, I didn't mean to get on that huge
side of Facebook. That's okay, because you could get me fired up on Facebook, too.
Well, Facebook, I utilize it, especially for the radio station, just to highlight the different authors, artists, the people we're going to interview, so people have a kind of a heads up. But and personally, on my Facebook page, it's almost only like, this is the person that we're going to interview. I mean, this is a pet peeve for so many people. I don't know why people still do the posting, but I'm going to the grocery store now, and it's just like, why do you even put that down?
Right.
Or, oh, that means your house is unattended. Maybe I'll break into it now. But some people post, and everyone knows this is a pet peeve, yet people keep doing it. I don't understand that. Why
people take pictures of what they're eating, and you're like, that's great.
I'll do that to my brother Stu on a text that only he sees,
right.
And I'll say, wish you were here. Here's what I'm having for dinner. But like, when people post certain things, it's like, we can do so much better. And what I appreciate about some of your postings is you'll reference something like maybe 1 Corinthians 15:3. This was a recent post you have, and what you put during your post is like, what you place as first importance in your life guides everything else. Mm-hmm. So you usually will post something that's thought-provoking or maybe even provocative, something to stir you into thinking, gosh, I've never thought of it in those terms, or wow, that's a unique way to look at it. And it's kind of something that's challenging or helpful, and then somebody might reply, and then you have an interesting conversation. Oh, I've never looked at the verse that way, or whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, the goal for me is always, what am I thinking about? And what am I thinking about that's not hopefully jaded by my own personal junk? So you're never going to hear on my Facebook, my wife did blah, blah, blah. You're never going to hear that, because that's not the place to do that. If you hear anything about my kids, it's usually just me trying to share with family who are Facebook friends what's going on with the kids. I think I shared a few days back that Jacob and I were watching this 1960s Lost in Space episodes together. I was indoctrinating them into something that I had done as a little kid. So I wanted to share that with our family. But Facebook is not a place where I talk about how much my kids are annoying me. It's not a place where I talk about the struggles that I have with my wife. That doesn't mean I don't have any. By the way, I have as many as you do. The difference is, I talk about those things with the people who are close in my life, who are in those close circles in my life, and I talk about them with God. That's why part of that verse that was posted there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, what do you place as first importance? Well, if you place that Christ died for our sins, that Christ rose, and that Christ is central to all that we do, well, then you'll have that conversation first and foremost with Him. When I have an argument with my wife, the first person I talk to is God. Because you know what? Right there in that moment, I can't hope to forgive my wife. I'm so angry or irritated or frustrated, or I just don't understand, that I need to talk to somebody who forgives me for all of my junk, and that's God Almighty, because He's the only one who understands that. I mean, I can go get a team of people. I can go on Facebook and go, my wife did blah, blah, blah. And I guarantee you I can find 15 short-sighted men who are going to go, yeah. You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
Been there, done that.
Those darn women, yeah. They think they know everything. You know, and those are guys right now who are sleeping on the couch in their basement playing video games, still living with their mom and their dad.
Yeah.
Either that, or they're not eating well, they don't have clean laundry, and their wives aren't talking to them. Either way, those aren't the people we want to have the conversation with. And by the way, those are the people who are going to crop up on your Facebook when you have that conversation. Instead, I want to have it with God Almighty. And then with those people who are close in my life, who I know that God will speak through and speak truth to me so that I can hear that. So, I think that we need to use Facebook, not have Facebook use us. And that's not just Facebook. That's any technology, Twitter, Facebook, any of those things. I mean, a good lesson that somebody taught me a long time ago is they said, before you hit the enter key, ask yourself two questions. Number one, do you want this in the permanence of the internet to be your epitaph? Meaning, if I died after I hit the enter button, would I want those to be the words that would be on my gravestone? And the second thing is, are you willing to walk in those words afterwards? Are you willing to allow those to define you? I mean, if somebody was to read that and say, what is Jason about? Is it those words? Because whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, when you hit the enter button on an email, on a text message, Facebook, whatever it is, there's a permanence. The internet captures that, and it keeps it, and it's there. And how you give something doesn't necessarily mean how it's going to be delivered, because as you send that off and it goes through the air and Satan grabs a hold of it and he goes, I got something I want to do with this, and it lands into your friend or your wife or whoever's hands, how are they going to take it? You know, how are they going to feel from it? And that's something that we really have to ask ourselves, because I think that we live in a culture where it was really interesting. I read an article the other day said that people spend more minutes texting now than they do talking. So people's talk plans are actually shrinking, and their texting plans are huge. And I know that's the same for me. I think I text, I don't know how many a month, but I never come even half of my minutes on my phone. But I have an unlimited text, but I use more texting than I think it's crazy the amount that I use.
Well, I'm thinking something you referenced, and we only have about a minute left here, but that whole concept of community, and maybe that's the title that I'll give today's program is Be Careful with Facebook, but Don't Lose Out on Community, because we can have that artificial sense of community. But as mentioned, as you read out of Hebrews, that assembling with other believers is so foundational and fundamental to our growth in God and our understanding of God, and having that core group of people that are holding us accountable for men, having other men involved in our lives, for women, other women involved in their lives, and that community that takes place as we pray together, as we worship together, as we meet together, as we have dinner and a meal together, as we sit across from each other. Don't allow Facebook or other social media to take over that place where God would want you with other believers, other people, like-minded, that love you, that care for you. And as we mentioned on Wednesday, be in God's Word. Hopefully tune into Christian radio when you can, and certainly meet with other believers and be a part of a good Bible-believing church on Sunday. Hey, it's Friday. Make plans today. If you're not active and involved in a local church body, find one. Go to Community Evangelical Free Church. Go to the First Baptist Church of Champaign and Savoy. Wherever you live, find a good Bible-believing church and attend there, and allow God to work in and through that pastor, that preacher that's going to be dividing God's Word on behalf of the kingdom for you personally. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.